Back with you on WGN. I can't wait for the Blackhawks to come back. Steve Dale here. I was a little nervous. It's Dr. Anthony Fauci. The last time I think I was that uptight, strung up, nervous, I don't know what the right terminology is, was probably Dr. Jane Goodall, when I spoke to her last year. No, that was 2019. And among the things she spoke about, and I'll talk more about this if I have an opportunity at about 2:45 or so, among the topics that Dr. Goodall and myself spoke about was the possibility of a pandemic, and exactly for the reasons I spoke about with Dr. Fauci. And I'll explain more about all of that in about an hour or so, actually. Steve Dale on WGN Radio. You know who's here? Chuck Shaden will be here. The great Chuck Shaden, the author of Chuck Shaden's Radio Days. What you might not know about this legendary broadcaster is his love for ice cream. And I'm going to ask him to take sides because there's an ice cream war going on that I will explain to you in a bit as well. Paul Lisnick is the reason that war exists. Paul Lisnick of WGN Television. Hello, Paul.
Stephen, how are you? First of all, congratulations on having Dr. Fauci with you. That was amazing. I know it was a promise his parents made to you when he was just a baby that if ever you posted radio one day, they would let him be a guest. And now that he's 80, sure enough, they came through on the bet. And by the way, I used to listen to Chuck Shaden's radio show every Saturday afternoon. I would even call in once. I got a trivia question right once on Laurel and Hardy, and he yelled my name out on the radio, and I like recorded it. I kept playing it forever and ever. He would say, Paul, call about Laurel and Hardy. Paul, listening. It was really exciting.
Well, you know, you and I grew up together, as we've talked about, and you are much better at not many things, but actually you're better at a lot of things. And one of those things is remembering some of these stories. And I remembered one. It came to me last night. So you and I were doing the public address announcements together in high school. We periodically
sure,
did that, right? Am I right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We used to do right. You were senior to me, but yes.
No, it's the other way around. And you were doing the PA announcements with me, and that Dr. Welby or Weldy was what was
Gil
his
Weldy.
Name?
Gil Weldy, yes.
Okay, so he was the principal of the high school that we went to, and he's participating in all this, and he made some announcement or another about not passing in the hallway at certain time. I don't know exactly what he said, but something about not passing in the hallways at certain times. He said that is verboten only. And then
Wait a minute. I know that story, but I have to correct it just so it came out the way it was. He was saying that we could not park our cars in the parking lot across the street. We both went to Niles North High School in the Old Orchard parking lot. That's what makes the line make sense, you see, and very clever at the time. He said, you cannot park your cars in that lot.
And then what?
And then he gave me back the microphone, and I couldn't help it. I said, remember, and he said, that area is verboten. And he gave it back the microphone, and I said, remember, it's verboten only, no cars.
I can't believe you still remember the one funny line you've ever had that you haven't stolen. You
he didn't appreciate it. And he didn't remember that he was our principal. He did not appreciate my humor, or yours probably.
No, he said, he said something about us not wanting to be in our act again or something like that. I don't know. Well, before
yeah,
we...
Yeah, it's an act that's been going on a long time. But anyway, you got a great show today. I don't know how I, rank to be a part of it, but it's a real pleasure, and I appreciate that.
Well, this is same here, sir. Thank you very much. And you have a new book out. The book is called Assume Treason.
Yeah, I think just this morning I was on our 8 a.m. WGN morning news, and Sean Lewis, the anchor, said, let me talk about it. I didn't even know it. He looked it up on Amazon. It is now available. Assume Treason, now available. And talk about the timing. Somebody would think I wrote this like this week, but it's been going on for a couple of years, but it is about a presidential election that involves a Trump-type figure and Biden-type figures, and it involves white supremacy and all this kind of stuff. And so it is fiction. It is a fiction book, but eerily relates to things we're seeing going on today.
Well, like Sean, I looked it up and found it on Amazon, and here's what it says. It says, Paul Lisnick's sequel to Assume Guilt, Assume Treason, takes readers on a mysterious ride in a Chicago-based political thriller. And then it says, quote, Chicago's own Paul Lisnick offers an electrifying tale of a presidential campaign in troubled times, unquote, Clarence Page, Pulitzer Prize winning columnist, Chicago Tribune. So what you described a little about what this is about. Would we recognize any Chicago characters in this book?
Well, you recognize Chicago places. Both my books are very Chicago. I remember Al Breslov, who is a writer for Around the Town Chicago. He talked about the fact that reading one of these books makes you feel like you're on the bus, which you would understand, on the bus driving down Michigan Avenue as you recognize all these places. So it is placed in Chicago. The places are real. I actually mentioned, I don't say this because the main character is named Matt Barlow. I will say that Matt is named after my dog, Matthew. But the places that Matt goes to are places that I go to and all of that. So that's the real part. The names, and the funny part of the names are, no, it's not that I'm using real names tied to characters, but I am using real names. If people are WGN fans, for example, they're going to notice a lot of names. If you're a morning show fan, Mike Toomey is one of the lead characters. Jeff Hoover is in it. I have almost everybody's permission to do it. Some, you know, last with my last book, Robin Baumgarten threatened to sue me, so I said, well, okay. No, she was kidding, but I think. But because I had Potash Pharmaceuticals. So WGN fans will notice lots of WGN names in there. You're in there. Your wife is in there. I've changed your name. People have to know more about you to understand what I've done to you. But I've kind of turned your name around so that people who read that will see it. But I think I kill you off early or something like that.
Probably you do, yes.
Yeah.
So the book is available now on Amazon. People can go out and get it through Amazon and wherever books are sold. I remember, and this is true, the last book that you had that came out, I was getting a watch battery replaced. So I'm in a little place that changes out watch batteries, and there I see a giant poster of you, and I point at it, and I say to the lady who's selling me the watch battery, she said, do you know Paul Lisnick? I said, actually, I do. She said, oh, what I told you about the watch battery being $10, it's now $30. I don't know what that was all about. That's absolutely true.
I think I know what it's about. I mean, she knows I'm poor and that you're rich and that she, you know.
That's not quite the case. But what is the case is Chicago theater has not been the same for quite a while. But, you know, we can watch it virtually, at least some theater. I want to talk about Chicago theater and what we expect to have happen in 2021, what some of the highlights might be. It is also, aside from politics, I know, one of your interests and expertises. And, yes, we're going to talk about that ice cream war that you and I are in. When we come back on WGN.
That's politics right there, that war.
Huh? What?
That war, that ice cream war is politics.
You didn't even let me finish. See, I made this perfect tease, and you jump in there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn him off and say, we'll be right back. Here, a legend in his own mind is Paul Lisnick. Hi, Paul. Paul, somebody wake him up. Please. Hello. You there?
Now I'm with you. Now I'm with you. By the way, I don't know if you noticed, I talked to Fauci. They had us both on hold waiting for you, and I asked Fauci what his favorite ice cream flavor was.
You did not.
And it turns out he said that peppermint ice cream,
when you eat it,
may be a good predecessor to taking the vaccine, that it actually may have positive, good
effects.
People
are going to believe you, sir. We'll talk about why you and I are talking about ice cream in a moment. I want to talk about theaters. Chicago, one of the most vibrant theater scenes on the planet, really, I think. But like every other city, from Broadway to Los Angeles and everything in between, has been impacted by the pandemic. But there are lots of things happening virtually, aren't there?
There are. And you know what? Let me just kind of preface this if I can by noting that the theater community, and you know, I'm passionate about that. Every time I get to take the host chair over there, I always have theater reps on with me as well because, you know, theater was the first to get shut down, right? When you talk to Miguel Cervantes and others, they knew it was coming and their last night, March 12th or so, they knew it was their last performance. They haven't been back since. They were the first to take the hit because we can't gather in theaters right now. And they're going to be the last to come back because while you can go to a restaurant and they can create a safe way for you and your wife to sit out in an igloo, you just can't do that with theater. So the first gone, the last to come back. And yet, you know, whenever there's a benefit, whenever they're raising money for something, whenever they're trying to help others, the artists, the actors, the first to get on board to do it. And I just want to give a shout out.
Right.
People can look at this. It's a website called beanartshero.com. BeAnArtsHero.com. It stars a local Chicago guy who made it big named Matthew Lee Erlbach. He lives out in L.A. now. He wrote The Doppelganger. He wrote Masters of Sex. A great guy, young guy from our area. But anyway, They're making an effort to say, Congress, you got to help the artists. You got to help the theaters. And I'm happy to say in this last bill, thanks to the efforts of Amy Klobuchar, Senator Klobuchar, among others, they finally did get some relief to some of these theaters and organizations. Yes, many theaters have found a way to go virtual now. Locally here, Looking Glass Theater, Steppenwolf, Goodman Theater, the Auditorium. Everybody's got Porchlight Theater. Porchlight does a great job of doing a whole variety of virtual things. And, you know, the truth is sometimes they just say pay what you can. Sometimes it'll be a ticket. Hershey Felder, who's a very well-known artist here who does the, you know, one-man Gershwin shows and so many things, he's been partnering with a bunch of theaters. He's got another one coming up where he plays Shalom Aleichem prior to Fiddler on the Roof. That's the character. And basically, depending on what theater you sign up to watch him on, the theater will get a portion of it. So you can do it through Porchlight or through Steppenwolf or through other theaters. So finally, we're seeing a lot of efforts for people to help out. To be honest with you, I buy these virtual tickets for almost everything, whether I actually take the time to go watch the event or not, mm-hmm. because these theaters are struggling. Ticket sales were never what got them through anyway. And now, of course, there are no ticket sales. And these treasures, you know, people think, well, they're never going to go. You know, these theaters can't close. Of course they can. And some of the smaller ones already have. So it really is important that we support them as much as we can because, again, they'll be the last to make the comeback.
What is going to a virtual production, a theater production, like?
Well, it depends how they do it. Sometimes they have recorded, you know, for example, this is a bad example, but when they made the movie of Hamilton, which you can see on Disney, I mean, it's a great example of a movie, but it wasn't created to be the virtual element. Although Lin-Manuel Miranda, you may or may not know, he agreed to kind of move up the release date of that a year. That wasn't supposed to be out for a year, but because of what was going on, they moved it up. But that was filmed to be a theater, you know, presentation. What the theaters are doing now is everything from creating radio-type style things at the microphone. Some of them have recordings of past shows that they have videotaped. Victory Gardens did that with Funhouse. And some of them are just, you know, doing the best they can to do readings, but to get them on tape, because they understand, and sometimes these things are shorter. Nobody's going to sit in front of their computer, most likely, and watch a 2.5-hour play like you might do when you go to the theater. So many times these things are shorter versions of things. But again, you're helping out. Auditorium Theater has done great stuff. I think you joined me last year. We went to Too Hot to Handle, right? The Jazz Gospel Messiah.
It's amazing.
We'll be taking place, I think, next week. Well, they're doing a virtual version, not so much, I think, of the Messiah, but of music involving Rod Dixon and Elfrieda Burke, the stars of that. So there are ways. Theaters are, man, they're being as creative. Look, who's more creative than artists, right? They're being as creative as they can to bring things to people. And people just need to look for them, find them. Look how tough it is for Chris Jones, right? The man's theater critic. There's not a lot out there for him to critique, but I still read everything he writes. So it's been a tough time. And again, they're going to be the last to come back. So really do everything I can, and I know you do, to support them.
So how do people learn what's playing where?
Well, you know, sometimes you have to, I guess I'm on everybody's list, so I find out that way, and there's press releases, but the truth is, if you live in Chicago, even if you don't live in Chicago, but you know, there's a theater, I don't even know how they found me, but it was a theater in Florida, and they did a presentation of the real life Brady Bunch, or a Brady Bunch
really?
Musical that had been written. Yeah, and it was written by Sherwood Schwartz, or his son, not Sherwood, but his son. I paid $20. I love the Brady Bunch, and Gavin Lee was in it, who I knew from SpongeBob and some other shows, Mary Poppins. And so I said, I'm just going to do it. So I bought an online ticket. And what's also great about theater is sometimes you can watch it when it's sort of premiering live, or sometimes these things are live. But oftentimes you can take the next week to watch them and stream it when you want, whenever you have time to do it. You know, and if you have, like, I've got Apple TV, so I can call things up on my iPad and bring it up on the screen in my living room and have a more, you know, virtual and fulfilling experience that way. So basically, I would say if you live in Chicago or you care about Chicago theaters, go to the websites of Goodman Theater, Steppenwolf Theater, Looking Glass Theater, Victory Gardens Theater. They're all doing Auditorium Theater, Porchlight Music Theater, all of them. They're all doing it. They all have things going on. And the odds are you will find something you will like, and usually for the whole family.
Indeed. Okay, so you and I meet at this place called Windy City Suites on occasion, because it's between your house and my house. You mentioned SpongeBob, by the way. Is that your favorite thing? Of course, you're going to watch something that has something to do with SpongeBob. Anyway, we meet at this ice cream place. It's an ice cream place, but also they have a lot of, like, old fashioned candies, stuff like that. And
oh my God, they make s'mores there. That's what I always talk about. They make s'mores there.
Right there,
they're so fresh.
And the fudge is made right there. And in any case, we meet there sometimes, you know, with our mask on and all that. And there's one particular ice cream, or I go there with my wife, Robin, there's one particular ice cream called banana pudding ice cream, and I ordered it so often that one of the employees said, well, we should just name the ice cream for you because you love this ice cream. And one day I go in there, and the ice cream is named the banana pudding ice cream. It's named the Paul Lisnick Steve Dale ice cream. And I said to the owner, John Manchester, I said, this is one of the great honors of my career, having an ice cream named for me, but you clearly made a mistake. It's not the Paul Lisnick Steve Dale ice cream. It should be the Steve Dale Paul Lisnick ice cream. He agreed with me. And then you had a complete meltdown that your name was second. So then you said, I want my own ice cream because you're a diva, you know. So you now have your own ice cream and we're having a competition. You are peppermint patty or something like that. And I'm the banana pudding
Paul's
ice cream.
Perfect. Paul's perfect peppermint. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I never liked banana pudding ice cream. It's not a very good flavorful thing. And in fact, when last time we met in there, we did a Facebook Live, which people can see on your Facebook page. And you seemed to be upset when you saw a sign on top of the banana ice cream with my picture on it that says Paul highly discourages the purchase of this flavor. Now, you know, I thought that was a fair thing to do. I mean,
no.
I think that's, you know,
now the reason why he discouraged it is because we are having kind of a fun competition here, because whoever sells not the most ice cream, whoever kind of falls into second place, has to make a donation to the Anti-Cruelty Society, which isn't so bad. Both Paul Lisnick and myself, huge supporters of the Anti-Cruelty Society of Chicago. So they're a winner in all this, which is a good thing. The ice cream is a winner, particularly the banana pudding ice cream, because it's the better of the two. And
more
and
so the peppermint.
What was that you're trying to
more
say?
More so the peppermint. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's the winner of the two, much more so than peppermint, which is just a seasonal thing that is good for a week. And that's about it. So check out Windy City Sweets. It's on Broadway just north of Belmont. And check out
3308, I think, is the address on Broadway. Yeah.
All right. So check out the ice cream. You will see that my ice cream is far superior to Paul Lisnick's ice cream. By the way, Paul, are you there still?
Yeah, because they use your ice cream. They use it as a caulk on the walls. They put it in between the bricks. Did you notice that? It's like a
I did not.
It's like a cement filler with the banana, whereas the peppermint, of course, has every kid smiling who walks in.
Okay, before you go away, and you will because I'll hang up on you, you might be interested in knowing that next week on this show, on this very show, a friend of yours, I'm having on the show, Brandon James, a singer, who's written
Oh, how
a book.
Wonderful. Brandon is great. He almost won America's Got Talent. And don't tell him, but I have his shoes.
Pardon me?
Yeah, I've got his shoes here.
I ought to be careful next time I go to your house. I may not be able to leave your house. What is that about?
You might come in wearing shoes. You may not leave wearing them.
What is that all about?
Well, I got to know Brandon after his almost win on America's Got Talent, and so I arranged for him to do a concert at the Auditorium Theater. So he did an onstage concert, and somehow, I don't know how it happened, but I managed to get up there and do a duet with him, or two, which we planned, and which people can watch, yeah, right on Facebook, and that's kind of posted as well, and he left his shoes here, because he stayed with me, and so when he left, I noticed I was watching something in the living room one night, and there under the table, his shoes, I went, well, do I tell him, because, you know, that was the ethical obligation, because I thought this could be the start of a shoe collection of celebrities. And so he texted me about something, and I responded by saying, I need to tell you, your shoes are here. And he goes, well, you can have them. And I said, oh, really? He goes, yeah. He says, those were my shoes from the finals of America's Got Talent. So, yeah, they're now, you don't even notice them. They're in my living room. They're kind of displayed. When you walk in, they're on the side.
There's
other shoes. I've got Jerry Lewis's shoes. There's other shoes. People think I leave shoes all over the place, but they're actually celebrity shoes. I've got Stan Livingston's house slippers from my three sons sitting right next to the chair you sit in usually.
Paul, would you do me one favor?
Sure.
Say goodbye.
Bye, Stephen. Bye, peppermint ice cream. Paul,
oh, no. It's the banana pudding ice cream you want.